Heavenly Father, thank you for your word and that it's written to teach us and to encourage us and to grow us as your people. And we pray now that as we take a look at it, this famous parable, that you would teach us and grow us, help us to understand it, not just in our heads, but in our hearts and lives as well, by your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, you probably know this story quite well. A man is going down to Jerusalem and he is set upon by robbers and they leave him for dead. And then a priest, who you might think would have compassion on this broken man and be the hero of the story, well, he just avoids getting involved. And so to a Levite who sees this man, he skirts around him on the other side of the road. You can imagine, I'm sure, being stranded out on some lonely road, somewhere out of town here, broken down, just hoping that someone will stop and help you out, outside of mobile coverage, and then you see in the distance Shane Love's face emblazoned on the front of the car and he just drives straight past you. Of course, I'm not saying that he would actually do that. This is just something like that. And then it's the local Shire car, Darren Simmons behind the wheel, and again, straight past. In Jesus' story, it's the people you expect to stop and help and they don't. Instead, it's a Samaritan. This is a person who is a foreigner. Worse, it's a person who's seen as a kind of defector in religion and race and in political loyalties. We might think of the Protestant and Catholic divide in Northern Ireland. There's religion, to be sure, but it's also about English invasion and Scottish migration and mistreatment between both groups over centuries. And think about this, being out on that road, waiting as these other cars are driven past, and then a car stops and it's a Chinese investor, the kind of person who's out here to look at farms to buy up on behalf of some Chinese government group. Shane Love, Darren Simmons, they've flown by, but this guy gets out and he starts working to get you up and running and back on the road. That's the kind of story this is. The Samaritan not only checks out the man, he helps him, he washes and dresses his wounds. He gives him the position atop the donkey. He takes the man to safety. He pays all the man's debts with his own wealth. He gives the man life without worrying about what it's going to cost him. This parable of Jesus is all about what it means to be a true neighbour to someone else. This is what one member of the human race should be doing for another. That is, when we see someone who is in need, no matter who they are, no matter what they've done, our hearts should go out to them and we should want to help wherever and however we can. For they, just like us, have been made in God's image. That is, they have a God-given dignity by virtue of being human, just like us. And so we should care for them. Now, Jesus' story is also about not making assumptions based on appearance, isn't it? These first listeners would have expected the priest to do something, but he doesn't. And then there's the humbler Levite who gets the chance to be the hero, but he too fails. And instead it's the despised Samaritan who is the one who does what is right. It's not how someone looks, but how they act which shows you their heart. Against all expectations that would have been made on the basis of appearance, the good-hearted Samaritan is the true neighbour to this man in need. Now, in both of those ideas, any ethicist or religion might agree. It should agree. This is the kind of treatment that's ingrained in our Australian thinking to some extent, isn't it? We should give people a fair go. We shouldn't judge a book by its cover. And of course, this turns the screws up on those ideas, though, doesn't it? That is, often we'd like to avoid getting involved in other people's affairs if we can. Of course, we wouldn't leave someone stranded on the road, but when you pass down someone who's stopped, even as you slow down, you're kind of hoping they're going to wave you past or indicate that everything's okay and you don't actually need to stop. And in the day-to-day life of a community, we want to often avoid getting sucked into the drama of someone else's life, someone else's mess. The bar set by this story is so incredibly high. And that's not a mistake on Jesus' part. In fact, it makes perfect sense when we see how this story relates to its context. Jesus uses this parable to address a legal expert. This is a person in the Jewish community who not only could read and write, which of course was reasonably rare in the ancient world, though perhaps less so among the Jews, but this guy knew the scriptures, that is the Old Testament, back to front, along with a whole history of interpretation with them. And he was like a mixture between a modern day minister or priest or life coach, that is someone who you go to for ethical and spiritual advice, but not necessarily some sort of direct kind of help, and a modern day lawyer, that is someone who you might go to get the sort of legal contracts written up and the various advice about what you need to be doing in order to fulfill these criteria required. That's who this guy was. And he asks the question to test Jesus, to size him up. It's kind of law expert to law expert. Have a look at verse 25. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "What is written in the law?" he replied. "How do you read it?" He answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbour as yourself." "You've answered correctly," Jesus replied. "Do this and you will live." Jesus is pretty short with the guy, isn't he? You kind of get the impression that Jesus doesn't like someone asking a question that they already know the answer to. It's like Jesus says, so why are you asking me? Just go and live like that. The lawyer's probably a little bit embarrassed at this stage, and so he explains what he really wants to know. Luke tells us, verse 29, but he wanted to justify himself. So he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbour?" The lawyer wants to know who counts as a neighbour. What is the limit of the love that I should show? And through this parable, through this metaphorical story, Jesus shows that there is no limit to who a neighbour is. You're a neighbour to whomever is within your sphere of influence. I read in a commentary, it said this: the whole point of this story is one cannot define one's neighbour, one can only be a neighbour. When you hear this story in its context, it does something rather radical. Because in the story, there's this point about not assuming that people who you might think would uphold the law really do uphold the law. There's a lesson about assumptions. And I think when we zoom out just this little way and we see this man who's asking the question, he's a person who you would make really positive assumptions about. This is a legal expert, the one who you would expect to uphold the law that he knows. And he seems to think he is. And yet he doesn't realise just who his neighbour is. Jesus' story catches him short, doesn't it? At the start, he has to admit his ignorance about something so fundamental. And who is my neighbour? And he's trying to make up for this embarrassment that he feels. In some way, he's also trying to limit the extent of God's commandment, hoping that maybe he only has to love those who literally live next door to him or down the same street or in the same town or who are of the same race. So Jesus' story catches him out. Especially so as right at the end he's forced to admit that he needs to be more like this Samaritan. Jesus is addressing this legal expert and showing that no one should assume he's upholding the law. Jesus is addressing this self-righteous person and showing just how far short of God's commandment he falls. And it's easy to look at the priest and the Levite and this law expert and think, gee, they really don't deserve to inherit the kingdom. And as we shake our heads at them, rightly, correctly, we need to be shaking our heads at ourselves. Yes, this is the way God wants us to live. Yes, we should be striving with all we have to live up to this standard. This is the life that the eternal, blessed kingdom of God demands. But what hope have we got when we know that we don't even love our friends and our family as we should, let alone our enemies. Because that's true, isn't it? As I think about my life at home, Tracy and my kids, they get more of the positive kindness than I show to anyone else outside of our family. But they also have to put up with a lot more from me as well. They have to put up with me when I'm tired or sick or frustrated, or when I'm moody or mean or demanding or just annoying. Tracy and our kids, they know I'm so very, very far from perfect. And I would guess that if you ask anyone who knows you well, who's lived with you for a while, then they could say the same about you. We don't love our neighbours as ourselves. Far, far from it. No one does. Well, actually, there is one person who did. The man who's telling this story spent years living alongside this close group of people, travelling from place to place, and instead of them coming to the conclusion that this man was flawed just like everybody else, they came to the conclusion that this guy was actually perfect. The Samaritan of Jesus' story doesn't exist, but the disciples came to the conclusion that Jesus was this kind of stranger, this foreigner, who doesn't just happen upon a person in distress, but actively seeks out a planet full of people in distress. See, they realized that God saw that this world was on its way to death and destruction, and so he stepped down. He gave up the position of wealth and reputation. He came to clean up a mess that he didn't make. He was born into this world and named Jesus. And what makes Jesus' action even more astounding than the Samaritan of this story is that he knows that humans are actually responsible and accountable for the situation that we find ourselves in. I don't mean in some direct one-to-one way, as though every person has done something to deserve everything that they experience. I mean in a corporate, worldwide way, humanity has left behind the source of life and health. We don't love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. We don't love our neighbour as ourselves. And as a result, we are trapped in a world that is destined for life, away from the blessed eternal life that God wanted for us. Instead, we're on a collision course. We're on a collision course with his death and judgment from God. But God intervenes through his son Jesus. And the world should know him. The world was made by him. But when he enters the world doesn't recognize him. The world doesn't realize who Jesus is and what he has come to do and what he now has done for us. Now, in the culture we live in, almost everyone in our society would affirm the goodness of the story of the Good Samaritan. They can see it promoting a neighborly love that everyone should have. They can see it tearing down assumptions that are made based on appearances. So they can see it promoting real racial equality, social justice, all of these really important things. As I said, everyone wants to give people a fair go. No one wants to judge a book by its cover. Everyone endorses these values of the kingdom that Jesus speaks of. But as I heard in a podcast a couple of weeks back, which was discussing the sort of current spiritual climate of the Western world, our community wants the kingdom without the king. They want what Jesus talks about without truly wanting him who said it. And you see, that is so fundamentally flawed because we are a world full of people who fail to live the way that Jesus taught. And so we are in a world which is on its way towards destruction. While it endorses some of those things that Jesus taught, it misses out on our only hope to actually find forgiveness and redemption and restoration. Now, Jesus' work is complex and multifaceted. But the simple part of it is that on the cross, Jesus was paying our debts, the debts we owe to one another, the debts we owe to God. He died the death that we deserve. Through the cross, he can offer the cure to sin and death. He can offer forgiveness and hope. and raised to life again, Jesus is the King of the kingdom. And so he can pour out his Spirit to teach and to change this world. He sets forth the example that we might begin to live out these values here and now and begin to fulfill the law in him and with him. The parable sets out the values of the kingdom. But without Jesus as the King of the kingdom, as the one who truly lives it out to its fullest, this parable can ultimately only show us how far short of the kingdom we come. But with Jesus, in him, knowing his sacrifice, trusting his leadership, well, then we find the energy and the enthusiasm to follow his example. So here's how I think we can conclude this look at the parable of the Good Samaritan. We shouldn't approach this text thinking that we've already come to know how to live like this, that we have the answers. We don't want to walk in as the experts of the law or like this priest or this Levite. No, we need to approach in humility and listen and learn from Jesus. And then we should come away from this text realizing that we have actually met the true neighbor in Christ Jesus, the one who had mercy on us. He's not just another teacher with some good ideas. He's not just a philosopher. This is the King of the kingdom, the one who truly and utterly and completely lives out what it is that he speaks about. And then learning from him, looking to him, trusting him, we go and do likewise. So let me lead us in prayer. Lord, we praise you for all we can learn in this story about the assumptions we make about others and about ourselves. Help us to know what you require of us. Thank you for having mercy on us through Jesus Christ, for when we fail to live up to your ways. And help us to find in Christ the energy and the example, the power and the pattern for a new life lived according to the ways of his kingdom. We ask for his sake. Amen.